Morning, everyone. Want to welcome you all to our worship service here at the Frederick Church of Christ. If we're being introduced for the first time, my name is Tony Peterson. I serve as the minister here. It's a great honor and privilege to welcome you all here and all of our audience on Zoom this morning. One of the first things that I want to bring your attention to that I'm sure you're already aware of as I'm speaking is that my voice, I'm not going to say it's lost because I know where it is. It's misplaced. Okay. If something's lost, you'll know where it is. Okay. I misplaced my voice. I placed it in the wrong spot. I know where it is. I left it at the men's retreat yesterday. Okay. That's where it is. Ladies, you can probably relate to this. You've got to talk louder and more aggressively to get through to the men, right? So my voice decided to depart with me in my efforts to do so yesterday. amen, right? So just by way of a little bit of housekeeping, we have a few announcements that I'd like to introduce us to. Here's one of the first things. So what we've been doing the last month or so, we've been doing a sock and diaper drive for the rescue mission. And I saw we got some more donations for that in this morning. So If I kind of roughly calculate what was brought in today, it's looking like we did in the last 4 weeks over 300 pairs of socks, a few thousand wipes, and probably at least 2,000 to 2,500 diapers. So we came through. I know Cliff was there the day I had to put everything from my car on one of their carts and wheel it in and go up the elevator. There were so many things. So I really want to thank all of you for putting your efforts into that. We're going to switch gears a little bit, and we'll also be mindful of specific needs the rescue mission has as they come up, as we dive in and we serve there often. But one of the things I want to talk about is the food bank. And we've been talking about this every week, that the food banks in Frederick are getting very low, the need is getting very high, and we do a pretty good job. We have this box in the back called Toucans, where we're collecting non-perishable food items. And I just want to put a focus to it. So here's the focus that I put to it. And you'll see it on this first line here. It says, it's impossible. you like to play on words? It's impossible. So from what you can read, what I want to do is I want to do a drive for the non-perishable item of pasta and sauce, you know, that sort of thing. You know, they say our bodies are made up of what, 76% water, roughly something like that. My body is roughly 76% pasta. Okay, so the pasta goes a long way. It's a cheaper item, and it's an item that can really stock the shelves well and feed a lot of people. So I want how much we can get back there and take to the food banks. I want, just like we did at the rescue mission when I rolled that cart up, I want to drop it off at the food bank and them to go, it's impossible how much y'all brought, okay? So let's go head for this one. Also, Sean is still collecting items for her survival kits. So get with her and see what sort of items she does. These survival kits are things that she does where she'll go out with a group of people to people in the community that are experiencing homelessness. And it's these kits that have lots of useful items that they need as they have that struggle in their life. We also do a meal for the guys at the rescue mission and the recovery program every fourth Monday. So we have that coming up, and every first, which is a very big need for us to keep going with this, as we do the soup kitchen at the Community Action Agency. Both those sign-up sheets are also on the table at the top of the stairs over there. Also, we have our community cookout coming up. Okay, so that's going to be the 23rd. It's in a couple weeks. So what we're doing is we're going to go to Staley Park, and it's just a couple of blocks down, and we're going to throw a cookout. So we've got Mission Barbecue that's catering this thing. We're going to have some kids games. We're going to have a cornhole tournament. By the way, I'm looking for a partner for that. So only put an application if you're actually good at cornhole. Okay. Cause I want to win this thing. Okay. Don't say, hey, I played a couple of times. I want to win. Okay. Here's the other thing. This is a wonderful thing that have happened. I've had to put another sign-up sheet because our other sign-up sheet for volunteers started to overflow. So that's an amazing thing. So we got another sign up sheet. So sign up, put your name on there, put your email, and there's a little gift that comes with volunteering to help us do this thing. And you'll notice that when you sign up. Other thing I want to say about this, one more thing, is I put some extra flyers on the table over there. So as you leave here, grab a flyer and give it to somebody. I mean, the point of this thing is to have a community cookout for people to get to know who are those weird people in that brick castle looking building. Okay, let's go out in our community. You know, we're very blessed to have a church property that actually sits in neighborhoods. You know, you think about a lot of other churches, they're in maybe business districts or off on a highway or something like that. But we sit right here in these neighborhoods. And if we're to love our neighbors, you know, let's start right here. Amen. So, ladies, you have a retreat coming up. That's going to be October 14th. I don't know any of the details because they just frankly won't tell me. I don't understand why, but they won't tell me. I said, ladies, please tell me what it's about. They said, it's for us. You just stay out of it. I said, all right. So you can RSVP. There's a link there. If you have a need for any other details, you can see Helene or Andrea or email office@fcoc.org. Amen. Those are our announcements for today. I'd like for you to flip to John, the Gospel of John chapter 15. Today, we're going to be bringing our series called True Love to a close. This has been a series that has been very near and dear to me as I have wrestled with what biblical love means and the implications when we are able to live it out in my own life, in my own family, in my walk in ministry, and in my walk with my kids and people I come across. How is it that we love these people? What does it truly mean to love? What is our source of love? These are the types of questions that we've been answering over the last several weeks. So today we're going to bring this, we're going to land the plane, we're going to bring it home, and we're going to talk about what is the greatest love. So I'm going to read John chapter 15, starting at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you.
Remain in me as I also remain in you.
No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Amen. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we come to you now, Lord. And Father, we don't ask that your spirit would come, Lord, because we know it's already here. Father, we know that as we gather here in your midst, you are dwelling within us and among this place. So, Father, I pray that during the next hour or so, as we fellowship and worship you, that we recognize your presence, that we see it, that we hear what you want us to hear, that we sing words that in spirit and truth that glorify you, and that we leave here different, loving more, caring more, self-sacrificing more, all to your glory and for our joy, that it may be complete. It's in Jesus' name we all speak. Amen.
How many people here are guilty of just doing enough? How many people here are guilty of just doing enough? I got some honest people here. There's a problem with that. Let's just be imitators of Christ. And God in Christ never just did enough. I mean, even when it came to feeding people, when all he had were 5 loaves and 2 fish, he feeds 5,000 people and they take up 12 baskets of leftovers. He fed 5,000, there were leftovers. That's more than enough. Oh no. Got a problem there, don't we? Yeah. We have a God who's, because he always does more than enough, because his mercies never cease, and his faithfulness is great, we are not consumed. Let's pray. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who always does more than enough. Brought forth your Son from the earth, just like you bring rain from the earth, just the same. And blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who through bringing forth your Son's blood gave us a cup of a new covenant of redemption. Amen.
Morning again, church family. I'd like you all to know that I believe, as I went through this week, one of the things I noticed every week as I'm asking the Holy Spirit to guide me, to lead me into what it is he would want me to say on a Sunday morning, I'm often challenged by the exact topic that I'm poised to preach on. And I think this week that I prepared an amazing sermon. I really do. I mean, I don't think I've ever said that publicly. Often in private, I say just the opposite. And those of you that I sort of wrestle with in my leadership and my teaching, often I'm saying, I'm my worst critic. I'm always the one saying, well, I think I could have worded this better or said that. Maybe I should have left that out, focused more on this, gave a little more application, blah, blah, blah. This goes on, right? But this week, I nailed it. I know I did.
Hear me out. I know I did. You know how I know?
Because I lived everything that I put on this outline this week. And as I lived everything and continue to on this outline this week, it filled me with joy in the midst of suffering that my family's going through, in the midst of all the suffering that you guys are going through. I'm holding back tears right now. The sharing time. It's just heavy. It's heavy in here. So as amazing as a sermon as I know I wrote this week, and trust me, guys, it's off the chain. It is. Might be the greatest sermon ever written. I don't know.
But here's the thing,
and it pains me to sort of say this, in another way it doesn't, is that we're not going to hear that sermon. Because the sermon got rewritten as I was sitting there. So if you're a note taker and you like the slides, I apologize. Is everything I prepared this week, Ron, we're not going to be doing the slides this week. But it's solid.
And I'll preach it someday.
We're going to stick with the same passage, though. Let me pray. I've got some thoughts I want to share with you guys. And we'll get right to work. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, Lord, we need you. Father, we acknowledge without you, when we don't remain in you, when we're not walking in your love, when we're not recognizing your mercy and your grace, Father, we're empty and we're lost. We're wandering in the dark and we're hopeless, Lord. Father, but we also know just the opposite to be true. Father, when we recognize your presence, when we abide in you, when we walk in your joy, when we're willing to give up our lives for the benefit of others, we become fulfilled. We become whole. Lord, we walk in a peace that we don't even understand. And we walk in your love. So, Father, help us to recognize that during this time as we spend the next few moments. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, I'm extremely overwhelmed by the amount of suffering that I heard during the sharing time. And I'm fighting back tears because we have losses. We have people that are really struggling with, am I going to be able to be with my family? Is there going to be reconciliation? Is there going to be redemption? Are things going to heal? Are things going to mend? Can I walk at being fulfilled and hopeful again, given that I'm going through this challenge? This just seems like it's completely life-altering. You know, this thing that's taking place, this suffering that's taking place in my life is going to put me on a different trajectory for the rest of my days. So how do I walk in joy? How can I be hopeful? How can I have a complete joy as I go through this tremendous challenge, as I go through this tremendous struggle? And I think as we think about these things, we're given the answer in our passage today. The passage today holds the greatest answer to how you can walk in joy, how you can operate in a mode of love that's the greatest kind of love you could ever offer someone in the midst of tremendous challenges and trials and suffering in life. As we approach this passage, I want us to think a little bit about the context of what's going on here in the Gospel of John. This is referred to chapters 13 to 17 as the farewell address. Now, this is Jesus as he's heading into what would be called the passion narrative, the story of his steps to Calvary. And just days before he's getting ready to offer up his life, the greatest love that you could ever offer someone, he says these words that are recorded in this chapter. Now, the things that lots of us have gone through these last several days and several weeks, I think we can really have a greater appreciation for these words. Because not only are these Jesus's words, but they're some of Jesus's last words. They're some of his last words that he ever spoke as a man clothed in, as God as a man clothed in flesh on this planet. These are some of the last words recorded for our benefit. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had an idea that, okay, this is going to be some of the last conversations that I'm going to have with this person, I'm leaning in. I want to hear what has to be said. I want to write it down. I want to record it. I want to, it's going to be likely the most meaningful, memorable, impactful, important, timeless things that will ever be said to me. Especially that gets magnified if it's somebody who loves me more than I can even understand. Do you hear what I'm saying? I mean, this is what's recorded here. And we know the story leading up to this. Jesus is having the last Passover, and it's recorded where he puts on an apron, and the King of the universe, Lord of lords, King of kings, going to come back riding on a white horse to create a new heaven and earth, put the two together, and do the dang thing where we can live in this place. We can't even imagine how beautiful it's going to be. The God who holds all of creation in the palm of his hand. He puts on an apron, he puts on a towel, and he gets on his knees. And he washes the feet of the disciples. Probably the most humbling thing you could ever do. If it was my feet, okay, that chapter would have been different. But the King of the universe, Lord of lords, he knows he's going to be gone soon. And what is he doing as he's washing his disciples' feet? He's giving them an example of how he wants them to live. He's giving them a real life model of humility, a real life model of emptying yourself to do something that would benefit someone else. And then he goes on to comfort his disciples with some instruction. So first thing he does is he
models humility.
And he models the kind of love that he's going to speak about in our passage today. And then the next thing he does is he comforts those that he loves. He has these seven I am statements where he's proclaiming his deity with these allegories, with these metaphors that we can better understand. And in John chapter 14, he says this one. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. He said, there's many rooms in my Father's house, and I'm going to leave here. Where I'm going, you can't come now, but later on you can come. But I'm preparing something for you. And the way to get there is going to be through me. So he's comforting his disciples and preparing them for his departure. That he's not going to be there with them anymore. He's no longer going to be the one physically in which they follow throughout their lives. He's going to dwell within them. And he's going to go to a place and prepare a place for them. And then we come to this passage with the final and the seventh I am statement. And in this one, he says, I am the true vine. And all of you, not individual churches, not anything like that, individual believers, each one of you is a branch off of me. And if you abide in me, you're going to have fellowship with me and you'll remain in my love. And if you no longer abide in me, you're going to be cut off and it's not going to be good. You know, one of the things that you deal with at the Rescue Mission in substance recovery, and this is a universal principle. If you don't stay connected, it's only a matter of time until your branch gets cut off, withers, burns, throws into the fire. It's a wrap. I mean, this is similar in any sort of practical relationship or thing that's beneficial to us. You know, as soon as in my marriage I start to dislocate and displace myself, and I'm not abiding in this love relationship anymore, it's the same thing. It's a matter of time until it withers and I'm cut off, and now all of a sudden I'm burned. And we're talking here during sharing time, and everybody in here is talking about the suffering that they're going through. And I don't ever make light of any suffering. The suffering is hard stuff. We all are going through tremendous things, whether we speak about them or not. One of the brothers yesterday said, always approach people like that. I think it was Brian, that better looking guy. He said, always approach people with the idea that everybody's fighting a battle. It might be news about your son. It might be trying to get your family back together. It might be a loss. It might be multiple losses. It might be an illness. It might be good news too in the midst of the suffering. Hey, we're going through this, but prayer is working. God is good. Amen. But we're all going through these things. So I'm hearing and I'm fighting back tears because I know what it's like to suffer too. A lot. You know, we've been through tremendous things in our lives as a family. You know, cancer, childhood cancer, and broken marriage, and addiction, and parents failing health from time to time. She's wrestling with things right now. You know, how do we walk this life out on a daily basis? How do we remain in our peace? How do we remain in our joy? How do we remain useful to the people around us? I never feel like I'm putting my time and my attention to the things that I need to be because I'm always busy over here. So now I'm dealing with shame. I'm ashamed of things I'm not doing because I should be doing, and blah, blah. It just goes on. Do you feel me? Anybody else? So how do you do it? How do you go through all this suffering? How do you go through all this pain and yet have joy? And I think the answer comes in our text today. So forgive me for no slides because we're not doing a slide day today. Jesus says this in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, have I loved you. Do you understand that? That the way in which Jesus loves us. He says it's comparable to what the Father loves him. In Ephesians, Paul's giving this prayer in chapter 3. And we like to focus on this part that says, "Now to him who is able to do abundantly more than I can ever think or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory." And we say, amen. We know and we trust that God is doing immeasurable things that we can't even imagine or fathom. He's certainly done that in my life. He's done that in your life, even if every single day you've gone through suffering, because you have a gift of eternal life. And not one of us in here can understand what that's going to be like. It's too good. It's too good. And there's times in our lives where God gives us this idea of immeasurable power that we can't imagine in the midst of our suffering, like our brother Renee walking in here. You're not supposed to walk in here. You're not supposed to talk. You're not, it's like my daughter. She's not supposed to be alive. Everybody in here has a story like that. If you're in recovery, your story is probably at times even more extreme, because you're basically just waiting for a death date when you're walking that kind of life. But we all are. We're all walking a death date until God decides that it's time for us to wake up and be a part of his family. But that doesn't exclude us from the suffering that we're going to continue to go through. But what helps us as we go through this suffering is, just as our passage says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Can you fathom that? In chapter 3 of Ephesians, Paul says this: "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from which every family in heaven on earth derives its name. I pray," this is a prayer, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." No matter what you go through, strengthened in your inner man, in your inner woman, "so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, brothers and sisters, being rooted and established in" what? "In love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses all knowledge." We would have power to grasp how wide, how long, how deep, how high is this love that Christ has for us. Because he's telling us right here, for those that abide in him, each one of us, that as the Father has loved him, that's what he has for you. And when you have that kind of love dwelling within you, then he says this. He says, "I've told you this. I've told you about my love. I've told you about abiding in me, that I'm the vine, you're the branches. You got to stay connected. I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you." Did you catch that? "That my joy may be in you." What does that mean? What does it mean to have Jesus's joy in us, dwelling in us? Well, let me tell you my thoughts. I think when Jesus's joy is dwelling within us, because the reason that's able to happen is because we're abiding in his love, and because of how far and how wide and how deep he loves us, and we remain in him. And when those things are happening, his joy is in us. And that joy in us is a complete and proper awareness of his grace and his favor and his love in your life. That's what his joy in us looks like. It's a proper awareness of how he's working. And do you see the amazing implications of our time? Because although every single person is talking about the suffering and the pain and the things that they're going through, what also is being communicated is this joy that's living within you. How can you have joy when you're going through all this? Because his love that I can't even fathom is in me and causing me to be complete in the midst of my suffering. And he goes on and he says this. He says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you. And then he says, and that your joy may be complete. Well, what the heck does that mean? What is a complete joy? I reflect on my life and I go, I can't really put a timeline on, yep, from
1989 to, or
1998 to 2002, I had complete joy. It's hard for me to understand what that means. But I think in the context of what he's saying, he's saying he's the true vine. He's saying in order to bear fruit, you've got to abide in me. You've got to remain in me. My love will abide in you. When you have this connection to Christ and you have this abiding in him, and abiding is a constant thing, by the way. This isn't a one-time deal. In fact, in the earlier verses of verse 15, verse 3, he says, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. You're already clean because of God's word. But that cleansing doesn't mean you're free to not abide. If we want to bear fruit, if we want to have complete joy, we got to abide in him. So what makes our joy complete? It's our abiding. It's our obedience in Christ. When we walk in this abiding relationship, and we're walking in this love that he commands us to walk in, that's when we start to have complete joy in our hearts. He goes on, he says this, right after saying that I'm telling you these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete, he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. That one statement right there is probably the most challenging thing to apply in our lives ever. Think of what he's saying there. Love me as I have loved you. It should beg the question, how did Jesus love us? Well, he's going to go on in the next section of John and the other gospels to tell us how much he was willing to go through to demonstrate his love for us. We weren't even believers yet. We weren't even his friends yet. In fact, we were his enemies. And he demonstrated his love by offering his life. And by the way, this wasn't just an offering of his life. He went through torture on this cross, before this cross, leading up to this cross. Absolute pain and torture for you and for me. Why? So that he could be the way and the truth and the life in which we have eternal life with him, and so that we may have a joy that's complete. And one last thing, he says this, greater love has no one than this. There's no other greater way to express love. Greater love have no one than this. There's not a way that you could name that's a greater way of expressing love than this, to lay down your life for your friends. I think that's one of the keys to the joy that we have in this church. The reason that we can share things, and it's not just sharing, just what we consider maybe
small stuff. We're sharing deep stuff in this church. That's why we
call each other a family. And that's not just lip service. We mean it. And how do we know we mean it? Because we're all willing to do this. We're all willing to lay down our lives for one another. That's what makes our joy complete in the midst of our suffering. Because I know that I have brothers and sisters that no matter what I go through, they're willing to demonstrate the greatest love for me. You guys do that for me. We try to do that for each other. That's why we can have a complete joy when we're expressing all these things that are killing us, that are so hard to go through. Because I know I got brothers and sisters that are going to love me in this way. And guess what? There's no greater way that you could ever do that for me than to do it the way you do it in this church. that you lay down your life. You're willing to put my needs above your own in order that I may have joy in the midst of my suffering. And I want to say this last thing. God is seen in the way we love each other. God is seen in the way we love each other. The way we love each other demonstrates that God is working and active in our hearts and in our lives today. Imagine what we got here, right? I just love this. Imagine this love and this joy and these relationships that we have, this willingness to show this true love. This is what true love is all about. You know, it's all the things that we've talked about in the last weeks, but it all boils down to this. This is true love, that you're willing to lay down your life for your friends. And by the way, I love that word friends, because I don't want us to think of it in the way that we think of it. Who were Jesus's friends? Well, the Pharisees said he was a friend of sinners and tax collectors. So the worst of the worst in their society. So who are you willing to lay your life down for? We're great at laying it down for each other. Imagine what the community and the world around us, our families would look like if we take this great love, this willingness to lay down our lives to help each other get through these things, and we take it out there. And we take it out there to our families and in our kids, and we're willing to lay down that extra overtime that'd be nice, but laying down that thing that I want in order to spend more time with my kids, my grandkids. Or saying no to this thing over here that I really want to do because I know I just need to sit down and listen to my wife and let her talk.
That's how this thing multiplies outside of
here. And I'm not talking about growing a church. I don't care about any of that. I really don't, honestly. It's amazing. More people are coming. Lots of people on Zoom. Amen. Love it. But I'm not talking about an attendance record. I'm talking about people experiencing joy and experiencing Christ in the way we love. That's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of thing that changes people. That's what changed me. Somebody is willing to lay down their life and their time and their efforts at a place called the Frederick Rescue Mission so that I could have a joy that I never knew about. That's what changes things. Our great joy, our great love to lay down our lives for one another. So would you stand and join me in prayer as we close this series and close this service? We'll sing one more song. I just want to say, as we close this, if there's anybody in here that doesn't know what I'm talking about, that needs prayer, that needs to experience this love of Christ, would you please come talk to any of us that have led here this morning? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, that you loved us the way you loved us, and you continue to love us the way you do. Lord, you are willing to pay the ultimate price in order that we may experience a complete joy in our lives. Father, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we will go through or already been through, Lord, we know that we can have a joy and a peace that we don't even understand because of the way in which you've loved us. Father, help that love to multiply. Help it to multiply in our church, in our families, in our community, so that you would be glorified and we would get the joy of being your disciples. It's in Jesus' name we all said.